We're your weather girls.
And do we have some poorly written fiction for you.
You better listen. Here's some stuff to look forward to this episode.
It's raining men. I think that's a great idea for a novel.
You eat his magic crepes and then all your wishes come true.
Ew, I have a mosquito bite on my butt.
And so much more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to episode one of It's Probably Raining Men. This is our first episode, and we're going to be talking about chapters 1 to 3 of our supposedly breakout novel, It's Raining Men.
Do we have a year on this? Did we confirm?
So 2013, it says date modified. That's all I've got.
Okay, well, okay.
Oh, we really dated ourselves. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but it says Just Dance 2. Do you know how many Just Dances came out after Just Dance 2? A lot. Several.
It was the origin of all this. Remember, it literally had the song It's Raining Men.
Oh.
Messed with it. We just played it all the time. Like, that was the song. I can probably, like, remember the dance moves, move by move. That's how we heard about the song, too. Like, right? The song was from, what, like, the 80s? We were literally, like, 10-year-olds.
Oh, It's Raining Men? I think that's a great idea for a novel.
Actually, I remember we went camping that year, and you and I were freezing our butts off in the water. So we were in there, and then I can't remember which one of us had the idea, and we were like, yes, it's men falling from the sky.
Things are going to just work themselves out. Because I don't think we ever really, like, sat down and planned it out.
Oh, no.
I think it was just like, okay, well, we're just going to write this together. Just somehow, like, broadcasting ideas back and forth. And it'll work itself out.
Just big brain. Writing. Yeah, and it was like, I wrote one chapter, you wrote one chapter. I wrote one chapter, you wrote one chapter. Yeah, we probably just emailed it back and forth. Did Google Drive even exist back then, literally?
I don't know, but I was gonna say it might have been like a Google Drive situation, because Dropbox certainly didn't Dropbox didn't have like joint editing at that time. I think maybe it did, I don't know.
So okay. 2011, I think it started like probably during the summer, because camping, right? We got home and we were like furiously writing at our computers, banging out this Pulitzer winning novel. And then we decided to kind of cheat on NaNoWriMo. Work on it in November.
Oh, buddy.
Finish it?
Hey, it was 2011. Do you know why I know? I searched my email for It's Raining Men, and I have emails from fictionpress.com. And when I click the link, it takes me to the page, and it says published July 6th, 2011.
Oh, my God.
So that was 9 years ago.
That was 9 years ago.
Cool.
Wow, so I was 12? Yeah,
we were 12. It says notes. Hey, this is our first story on Fiction Press. Yes, our, in brackets. We hope you enjoy this first chapter. Signed, Claudia and Alexa. XD. P.S. We don't own anything you'd recognize, which it's original, so I don't... Oh, okay, I guess it has Just Dance 2. We posted 10 chapters.
Wow, look at us. Do we have any views?
We have 4 faves, 3 follows, ooh, and like 1 committed reviewer.
Damn.
So, oh my God, this is a lot. Okay, I'll rein myself in.
Also, another thing to note is that we had pseudonyms. We gave ourselves pseudonyms. I was Claudia Rush. Nora Alexa. I don't remember how we picked those names.
It was something along the lines of, I wanted it to sound something like my name, but also cool.
Where mine came from? I don't know. Probably, remember a fake name generator or whatever? You would, like, enter and, like, a whole thing came out with, like, fake address, fake email, fake whatever. That was probably one of them. And I was like, this'll do.
Good enough.
I also remember the pseudonyms were, at least for me, it was a way of masking how young I was. Like, I used to think I was the shit. Like, I was so cool for a 12-year-old. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So I wanted, once we published this book, and of course, chapters would be like, hey, you should come for, like, a signing. Like, everyone wants to meet you. Nobody wanted to meet, like, an 11-year-old, right? You are Claudia Rush, Alexa Love. We can, like, put on, like, a blonde wig or something and just become...
That, like, that name sounds like it belongs to an adult.
Yeah, right.
Plus, I think it was, if we're going to put this on the internet, it can't be our real names.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was always, yeah, there was that hype when you're that age, when you're just afraid of, like, internet stalkers and that kind of thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess. Yeah, makes sense. Well... this is, It's Raining Men in its, pure unedited form. How do you want to read this? Do you want to do a dramatic reading?
Dramatic reading? Sure. Just note that the font size is large. I mean, it actually says it's 11, but it looks really big. There's like maybe like three to five paragraphs per page. On my copy.
I think the pages are really small because we were getting ready for printing, you know, like we were like in the mindset of like, this is going to be a book. So I remember setting like the margins to and like the pages to be like book sized, right? To like imagine like what it's going to look like in the future. So,
wow.
Font size is huge.
Opening sentence. It's the hook. It's going to get everyone into this.
Yeah. Ready. I'm ready.
It goes... Ew, I have a mosquito bite on my butt, complained Jill. It also says Saturday, June 24th, 6:47 p.m.
It's important to know. So Jill keeps complaining. Would you like to be Jill?
Sure. I was bored to death. Why did we even go to Jessica's wedding? She was never nice to us back in high school.
Also, I always thought, like, you know how in movies, how, like, they're very much, like, centered around high school. Like, high school is, like, the pinnacle of, like, everything, right? Like, everyone is at their best in high school. Everyone
and
looks
kind high of, school. Like, everyone you know is from high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were, what, like, grade six? Grade six or seven. And it was, like, whoa, high school is this, like, magical, mysterious place. Like, oh, my God, it's going to be
that's
so
right.
Cool. So, very much, like, yeah, these adults are presumably, what, like, 24, 25? Yeah, they're still pretty hung up on high school.
Oh, okay, well, we're going to introduce all of them. It says, four best friends, Jenna Cartwright, Brooke Marlette, Jill Henry, and Kieran Carson.
I was just lazy.
Wow. Walked out of the Foundry in Long Island City. Never been.
Never.
The three women, Jenna, Brooke, and Jill, later joined by Kieran in high school, had met back as toddlers and were still very close friends, going to the same university. I think this was just a dream of ours.
Yeah, it was. Very much so.
You want to continue?
Sure. Their high school nemesis had just gotten married, and the four girls had been invited to Jessica's wedding and reception. The wedding ceremony had finished, and the reception had gone smoothly. Jill was glad it was over. So dramatic. It was a warm June day, and the sun was still shining high in the sky. The wedding had just ended, in case we had forgotten, and the four girls were walking to the parking lot, limping in their tall, high heels.
First of all, you don't have to wear high heels, ladies. They really suffered. I mean, they had to go to this nemesis's wedding, and their shoes hurt. Wow.
Oh, man. And she has a mosquito bite on her butt, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the end of the world.
It's worse. Oh, that was so romantic, gushed Jenna, ever the hopeless romantic. I hope my wedding is that fabulous someday. Oh, the colors, her dress, the location, it was perfect. Yeah, I feel like all our main characters, as we will soon see, are very much archetypes. You know, like, they have, like, their own, like, delineated roles, and they just stick to those roles the whole time, which I guess is characteristic of YA.
Even this next bit.
Yes.
Just to differentiate them. Out of the four girls, Jill was by far the rudest. She was even nastier towards Jessica because of some of the hurtful things Jessica had called her in high school. Fat, ugly, stupid, the list went on and on. Also, the use of semicolons. There's a lot of semicolons.
Yeah, there is. I think I had just discovered semicolons, actually. So that's why. Okay. It's a time to forgive and forget, Jill. To tell you the truth, I found it boring at some points, but it was magical too. They are a perfect match, and it was amazing to watch them. Jessica looked so happy, Jenna said enthusiastically.
When are we going to find the one? Asked Brooke, obviously sick of the Jessica subject. The four girls sighed simultaneously. They gotta practice that, you know?
Hey, do you guys want to come over to my house? My boyfriend just got me Just Dance 2, asked Jill.
Oh. Way to segue.
We gotta insert that product placement, you know? Does he really think he can buy your love with video games? Asked Kieran.
Whoa.
He's a gamer girl.
Yeah, that's right. Wait, okay, wait. The other four girls noticed the noticed the telltale glint in her eyes. Kieran, back in high school, had occasionally stolen things and could be very greedy. She wanted material objects and money, too. Kieran had changed a lot since high school, become eco-friendly, vegetarian, but her thieving ways had stayed the same.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh no! Jill hoped Kieran wasn't going to ask to borrow the game, as she was sure that it would never find its way back to her place. What?
Scandal. You know, I think we like completely dropped that plot line. Like there was nothing there. Like we just wanted her to be a thief. Just like a petty thief, stealing video games from her friends left and right.
From her childhood friends. She wasn't actually saying, does he really think he can buy your love with video games, out of concern. No, she was saying it because I don't know.
Ooh, Jill and her boyfriend, Mark. Oh my god, Mark makes a comeback later, I remember.
Mark does.
Jill and her boyfriend, Mark, had been dating for almost 9 months.
Oh, whoa.
Jill was getting bored of him. Oh, in her eyes, Mark was just another one of her disposable guys. He wasn't really fiancé material. 9 months?
that's a little wow. Brutal. Poor, sorry, Mark.
So, she, meaning Jill, wasn't specifically searching for a fiancé, but Jill did not want to waste her time with someone she would say no to without a second thought. Jill was hoping that one day she would find the one and live happily ever after, but she knew Mark wasn't the one. She needed someone who would put up with her when she was in one of her moods.
Whatever that means. Why don't you just break up with him? Jill's friends repeatedly asked her.
I'm just looking for the right time. Now's just not it, she would always reply. Her answer always sounded suspicious to Jill's friends because she wasn't known to be very considerate towards other people's feelings.
She was the rudest of the lot.
She was very rude, very rude. Brooke pulled her keys out of her Louis Vuitton clutch and jingled them. Hop in, she said.
The four girls got into Brooke's shiny red Porsche. Porsche is spelled incorrectly.
It's spelled like porch with an E.
Her shiny red off-brand Porsche. They slid into the soft leather seats and Brooke started the engine. The speakers blasted Katy Perry's Teenage Dream. The four sang along to the chorus. As the song died down, Kieran sighed.
There's a lot of sighing here. We're already 23 and we still haven't lived our teenage dreams, she said. I wonder who's going to be our Romeo.
Without all the dying, of course, Kieran giggled, and the other girls nodded dreamily. I hope Brooke's not nodding dreamily. She's driving.
So, to Jill's apartment, Brooke clicked her French manicured nails on the steering wheel impatiently, huffing at all the traffic.
This is back when French manicured nails were, peak.
Very much a thing. Very much a thing.
I feel like that would not, it would have to be, her gel manicured, you know, whatever.
So very much 2011, French manicures were all the rage.
Yeah, that's right. Also, they're 23. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to remember this.
Yes. Yeah, it's crucial. Also, she has a Porsche. Who gets a Porsche at 23?
No.
What does she do? I guess we'll find out. Do you want to stop by Antonio's on the way? Asked Kieran. They have the best crepes at this time of day. It was nearing 6 o'clock and the sun was shining brightly, though it was slowly setting. Hang on, it's 6:47. It literally says it was 6:47.
Not 5 pages earlier.
Not even. And now it's almost 6 and Antonio makes good crepes at 6 on the dot. Before 6, after 6, they're shit. But at 6, they're the best.
You have to go at every hour of the day to find out when Antonio's crepes are the best. Oh no, I'm not. You have to be Antonio.
Oh my god.
Anyway, Jill says, yeah, I'm really hungry. She uses over-exaggerated air quotations. Jessica's stupid little meal did not fill me at all. To Antonio's it is, replied Brooke.
Kiki! That's more Italian. Kiki! Antonio addressed Kieran. Longa time no see, my dear. That's also Italian. Oh, no.
Maybe the next part where we write in with apostrophes, it'll get easier.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let me try again. Long time no see, my dear, Antonio said with his thick French accent. Where have you been? I have not seen you in a while, no? Man, wiping his hands on a greasy kitchen towel.
Oh.
Kieran reached over and hugged the man. The two had known each other since Kieran was a baby. Antonio had been her mother's home ec teacher in high school. The two stayed in touch, and even though he was close to 20 years older than her, the
Wait
two
a second.
Wait a
so, Kieran's mother had her very, very young, if this is true. Antonio being the home ec teacher means that he must have been at least like 22. So Kieran's mother was a prodigy and also a teen mom.
Yeah, I think that's probably the conclusion here. Also, they were, 23, so he's 43. And the next line says, Antonio retired a couple of years ago and opened the bakery, Famous Crepes. How much is this man making as a home ec teacher in high school so he can retire by the age of 43? To be fair, we were 12. 43 was ancient.
Yeah.
It was like, you're...
This seemed plausible, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. We didn't question. This was not a point of contention at all.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm reading ahead a little. The girls came here often and had gotten to know Antonio well over the years. Tony, she greeted him by his nickname. I've been busy, you know? I finally got a job at the YMCA, and I've had almost no time to myself, she said, smiling. The new job had put her in a very happy mood. She usually came home exhausted. She loved working with children, and something new always awaited her the next day.
That's heartwarming. That's nice. That's great, Kiki. My, you ladies are dressed very fine today. Where have you been? replied Antonio, dressed gesturing to their matching pale yellow sundresses. Were they bridesmaids? There's a dress code at this wedding?
No, they're all just wearing the same dress out of a
same dress, yeah.
Fashion statement.
Well, yeah. 4 for the price of 1.
We were at Jessica Liu's wedding. Everyone was required to wear something yellow. There's our answer, said Jill with a roll of her eyes. Kieran, Brooke, and Jenna smirked at that because they all knew how Jill hated to wear the same clothes as anyone.
They didn't have to wear the same dresses. It was something yellow. It didn't have to be the same yellow dress.
No. One time in grade 10, Jill and Amanda DeRossi wore the same skirt. Nobody had laughed or even noticed, but Jill, too embarrassed to come out of the washroom, ordered Jenna to get her another skirt. From where? Even now, no one was allowed to mention that. Also, since that day, the girls had to call Jill every time they went out together to make sure they weren't wearing anything similar. In other words, Jill could expect 3 calls every day.
Interesting. Okay, that's a weird thing to get hung up on. Okay.
I feel like a lot of plot points are opening that we previously did not consider.
Yeah, no, that's that. Yeah, that's
such true. As the story of Antonio, the time traveling home ec teacher, the Benjamin Button home ec teacher.
That's, I think, the only plausible explanation here, honestly. Wow. I completely forgot about this guy. This guy does not make an appearance whatsoever. Like, irrelevant to the plot. Not that there was much of a plot.
No.
But anyway. As Kieran reminisced about her high school years, when she actually had a boyfriend, Antonio interrupted. So, crepes, my dear, said Antonio.
Yes, Kieran. Please, Tony. The food at the wedding wasn't very filling, replied Kieran.
If we'd forgotten. Yeah. Well, crepes, coming up, announced Antonio, walking back to the kitchen.
Half an hour later, when Brooke, Jenna, Jill, and Kieran's stomachs were full of delicious crepes, they headed off to Jill's house. They keep saying house, but...
I think they're all apartments.
They have to be living in an apartment.
Yeah.
No 23-year-old owns a house, right?
Especially not in New York. Also, it's bonkers to me now that they didn't just, like, live together. They all have their own apartment, and they're living by themselves.
But they call each other to check their outfits, so they basically should be living together.
Honestly, right?
Save on that rent, gals.
Anyway. First, they stop by Brooke's condo, then Jenna's apartment, and Kieran's apartment to grab extra clothes for their monthly sleepover.
Well, they should have packed it earlier.
Where's the foresight?
And what? So now Brooke's just driving them, so she's going to have to, like, drop them back off at home the next morning or something? So. Okay, cool.
Adults do okay. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wearing a white pheasant blouse and beige capris and red sandals tomorrow. You, Jill asked everyone. This is, what a 2011 outfit.
Oh, the my God. Style. Capris. I'm just going to grab anything, said Kieran.
Same here, Jenna said.
Okay, just make sure that we're not matching. You know how much I hate that, said an irritated Jill. And you, Brooke?
I'm getting a green, Brooke began.
Yeah, yeah, said Jill, waving her off. Just make sure we're wearing completely different colors, okay?
10 minutes later, they were back on the road. Jenna looked out the window. Also, just so they're neighbors, basically. Like, it took 10 minutes to make that loop. So they live, like, next door to each other, basically, together. Something doesn't add up, but anyway. 10 minutes later, they were back on the road. Jenna looked out the window at the passing New York scenery. They pulled into the parking lot of Jill's apartment. Home, sweet home, muttered Jill.
Why is she muttering?
She just... daunting way to end a chapter. Like, something's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's right. It's like they're gonna open the door and, you know, Antonio's like, the vampire. You know. So now it's Saturday, June 24th, 8:54 p.m. So it has been about 2 hours since we began.
So chapter 2 begins. I'm not going to sing that, but it's...
It's raining men. Hallelujah. It's raining men. Every specimen, tall, blonde, dark and lean, rough and tough and strong and mean. This has been stuck in my head for years. That is all. For almost a decade.
So the song is playing and Brooke and Kieran were playing against each other and Just Dance 2 and belting out Raining Men at the top of their lungs. Ha ha, have you guys ever thought of auditioning for Singing with the Stars? Then you can become rich and famous, babbled Jenna. She had a habit of bursting out with the most random comments at the most random times. She's crazy.
She's so kooky. She just says things.
Just random things. Oh my God.
Oh no. Hey, calm down. I still can't get 10,000 points. And you're thinking about becoming famous. Cool your chiz, replied Kieran.
In case you were wondering, here comes the explanation.
Chiz was a word they had made up in high school, meaning take a chill pill. So in context, cool your take a chill pill. The four had been using it ever since.
I don't really know the origin of that word, but we were 12. Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
It's one of those mysteries.
Yeah. The doorbell rang, a traditional ding dong. I'll get it, said Jill with a sigh, knowing instinctively whom it would be.
Oh!
Opened the door.
Hit him with a whom.
Your mark, you gotta...
Hey, sweet thing, how are you? Asked Mark in a southern drawl. In brackets, Jill's boyfriend, stepping in. He kissed her on the cheek and turned to look at her guests, completely missing the sour face Jill had put on when Mark had walked in.
Ooh.
Hey, girls, what's up?
Not much. Accent, sorry. Playing Just Dance 2. Wanna join? Asked Kieran.
I have to run. I told Sam that I'd meet him at 8, and I'm running a bit late, he replied. So, what do you want to drink? We have cola, Sprite, Orange Crush, and beer, Mark said, walking into Jill's kitchen. Mark had the weird thought that Jill's kitchen was his. It irritated Jill and made everyone else roll their eyes.
Mark. Beer, exclaimed Jenna, getting over Jill's funny-looking, annoyed face.
Yeah, Jen, beer. We're legal drinking age and have been for 2 years. Just because you do everything 4 years late doesn't mean that everyone else does, said Jill, taking out her anger on her friend. Let's just wait till you see what she was late at.
It was true. Jenna did everything 4 years late. She got her first 2 hours. Braces 4 years late. It's a lot of tooth related things, like orthodontry is very much her thing. Her driver's license 4 years late, and now drinking alcohol late. Wait. So at what age do you lose your first tooth? At like 6? She was 10 years old and had a full mouth of baby teeth.
Oh no. Oh Jenna, no wonder she says the kookiest thing. Jenna scowled and looked away. If looks could kill, Jill would be long dead. So she looked away. But yet her look could kill.
Laser eyes, it goes right through your head.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Hey Jen, do you want to play Ico Ico? I know it's your favorite. It was my favorite, actually. Asked Brooke, who had been quiet for a while in an attempt to bring Jenna's mood up again. Jenna picked up the remote and stood in front of the TV with a frown still on her face.
Actually, you know, I still feel raining many. Let's do that, she said, still scowling at Jill. I'm out, said Mark, kissed Jill, and walked out the door. He could not stand cat fights. Not a fan of that wording.
Excuse me.
Like, I'm sorry, Mark, I know you were written by us, but what a dumb guy thing. You guys can come over to my place anytime you want. I just got the new Assassin's Creed. We did not know what Assassin's Creed was.
No idea.
Maybe we can play together sometime.
Whoa. Is Mark, like, hitting on all of Jill's friends at once?
At once.
Because that's what's happening here.
It's like, I'm going to pick them off one by one.
Yeah. Ooh, Jill, feisty. Get out of here, shrieked Jill, half serious, half joking, and pushed him out the door. After closing and locking it, she said, let me add that to the list of things I hate about him. He's a video game fanatic. Whoa.
Jill always kept a list of all the things she hated about her boyfriends. On Mark's list was, aw, his laugh, his hair, his breath, his clothes, his shoes. The list was very, very long. She usually broke up with a guy when their list reached 10 or 20, but Mark was special. Jill was always looking for excuses to keep him longer, even though she did not like him. Jenna, Brooke, and Kieran all thought that the only reason she did this was so she would have something they did not. A man who loved them. Or at least said they loved them.
Oh my god. Drama is brewing. Wait, so does Jill keep like a physical list? just like things she doesn't like.
It's in her notes app. Something.
On her iPhone 3.
Yeah. I think this must have been even before the iPhone 3. I feel like people had iPhone 3s when I was in grade, like 8 or 9.
So it was like an iPhone 2.
Just iPhone. It's just iPhone.
Oh, God. I don't like Jill. Jill.
Yeah, I feel like Jill's kind of being made out to be like a main character, but I don't like her.
Yeah, no, she's not. Nah. Oh, we continue. For example, Brooke had money that Jill did not have. Yeah, right. We saw her porch before, remember?
Yeah, porch. Porch.
Jenna was nice and had many friends, something Jill was lacking.
Whoa.
Wait, like friends outside the social circle didn't introduce her like core group of friends to these like peripheral friends. Jenna doesn't seem nice either, honestly. Ooh, and Kieran was thin and beautiful, something Jill believed she wasn't.
Believed. But really, she is.
That's probably the story. That's the moral here.
Actually, Jill had a really low self-esteem. In high school, she had been a bit chubby, but had lost all of the weight by the time graduation had rolled around. All of the comments she had gotten about her weight and appearance were obviously still bothering her. She always yearned for the things her friends had that she did not, and was forever complaining about the things they had that she did not. Okay? That new pair of shoes, the newer cell phone, the cooler purse.
Jill.
How are they such close friends if they have so much resentment?
Right.
My goodness.
Man, oh man. Nothing that a nice round of Just Dance 2 can't mend.
That's right. Amen.
After rounds of reigning men on Just Dance 2, the girls stretched out on the couch and settled to watch their favorite movie. They laughed.
Guess what movie it is?
This was our favorite movie. We were like 10.
This was a movie we bought at HMV,
yep.
The movie and music store that later went out of business. And I think it was like a 2 for $15 kind of deal. We got like a CD and the movie or something.
We bought Katy Perry.
Teenage Dream.
Yeah, that one. That's why all the references.
And this movie called, it's escaping me.
He's just not that into you.
He's just not that into you. Yeah. And so here they are quoting it. They laughed when Alex, one of the characters, said, "So trust me when I say if a guy is treating you like he doesn't give a shit, he genuinely doesn't give a shit. No exceptions." And they cried happy tears when he later said, "You're my exception, Gigi."
Oh my God, moving. When the movie finished, the four were in a mix of tears and laughter. "I wish I was Gigi and I was the exception. I had my Alex," Brooke said through tears. This movie was really not that dramatic.
"That movie surprises me every time we watch it," said Kieran, shaking her head. "Yeah, sure, it was like so cliche, but I always love watching it."
Hey, you know what would be awesome? If men really did fall from the sky, like in Raining Men, and we did find our Alex, that actually seems kind of dangerous, honestly. I wish guys would just drop out of the sky.
For me.
Yeah, for me. And Jenna said this with a sigh of contentment. The other three girls agreed and closed their eyes, each wishing for the perfect man to fall from the sky and live happily ever after. The girls were unaware of the trouble this simple wish would cause them in the not-so-distant future.
Dun, dun, dun. We really stepped out of the narrative here. We're going omniscient, baby. Yeah.
That night, a storm brewed and a face appeared in the sky, like Mufasa talking. "Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it all," it said, peered back into the clouds. So dramatic.
Oh, isn't that song? Wait, what's that song? It's like, "Careful what you wish for, because you just might get it all." I swear that's a song. It's like Nickelback or something. It's not Nickelback, but
you just might get it. "When I Grow Up" by the Pussycat Dolls. I actually think this was also in Just Dance 2. I'm pretty, it might have been.
Oh, they also sing it there, but that's not the song I was thinking of, but that is probably where we got it. It's from Chris Daughtry's I'm Going Home, the classic song.
Classic. Yeah, it was very dramatic. Very heteronormative.
That's right.
Yeah, let's find out what happens next. Trouble is a-brewing.
Oh, no. Chapter 3. Saturday, June 24th, 8:01 p.m. So this is set earlier?
Earlier
this is set that. Almost an hour earlier.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay. I remember writing this chapter. This one stuck in my head. Felipe, Chris, Martin, Jack, and Justin. We really like those J names. Jenna, Jessica,
Jill. Jessica.
Jill.
Oh. Jack, Justin.
They all went to the same college. They had never talked to each other, merely seen each other in passing, but today, something brought their lives closer together.
Ooh.
Spooky. Weird tense, but fine. Hey, Felipe, a boy called. Felipe turned to the source of the voice to find his friend calling him. It's time to go watch the big game. Are you pumped?
You know it, dude, he answered just as enthusiastically. Felipe's big obsession in life was sports. And tonight's game was guaranteed to be very, very exciting. This is what boys were to us, right?
Yeah.
Like, sports and video games. Like, that was it. That was all they did.
Just being generally unsatisfying humans.
Exactly.
Felipe's friend left the room, leaving him alone. He turned to follow John, his friend, but he felt a tugging sensation in his gut.
Interesting.
The world spun around him, and the next thing he knew, he was falling through the air. ..
This was 801. This was before all that shit happened.
Doesn't make any sense.
Anyway.
I have a theory. I have a fan theory. Antonio is God and also a time traveler.
Time traveling God, face in the sky, wish granter man. You eat his magic crepes and then all your wishes come true.
But that's why they're so special. If you eat them at 6 p.m., that's...
Exactly 6 p.m.
We've explained it. Because I think we were having trouble later, like, fitting in the magic with the, like, normal realism.
Yeah.
That would have answered everything.
Yeah, honestly. Easy. There you go. Easy fix. Loopholes.
Tied up, baby.
No. Yeah. Ooh, next section of chapter 3. Justin, dude, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? Justin looked up from his book to see his friend Luke standing over him, casting a shadow over him. Justin was a very quiet guy. He preferred reading to watching sports or hitting on girls, a fact that made many of his friends think he was gay. You know, book equals gay.
Did not think we were going to get this.
I know.
In 2011. Around, he answered. Now, can you move? I want to read this.
Hey man, you can't miss the big game. Come on, you can read later. Justin shrugged, giving in easily to his excited friend. Fine, I'll finish this chapter and I'll meet you there, okay? Luke shrugged and walked away, leaving Justin sitting on the bench. True to his word, Justin finished the chapter he'd been reading and closed his book. He stood up from the bench, stretched his arms up to get rid of the slight cramp in his back from sitting and reading in one position all day, and walked away from the bench. Before he could reach his destination, however, he felt a tugging in his gut. He felt queasy and wanted nothing more than to lie down on a soft bed. The next thing he knew, he was falling through the sky.
Chris, Martin, are you guys ready to go watch the big game?
Wait, is that a pun? Asked. Is that Chris Martin?
It honestly could be. We're really peppering in those references. So, Chris, Martin, are you guys ready to go watch the big game? Mark asked the two as he passed them. He was friends with both of them, but had never really thought to introduce the two. Upon reflection, he thought that they would be good friends. Both were kind and very friendly.
They were just like walking down the hallway or whatever, side by side.
The hallway of college.
The hallway of college. And Mark was like, boys!
Those are my guys.
Yeah, I guess. Are you talking to me or are you talking to that guy?
Chris Martin? I don't see him.
Sure, they answered at the same time and then looked at each other with an amused expression on their faces.
Cool. Mark walked away. Wait, is this the same Mark?
Yes.
As before?
Okay. I feel like we did a little bit of like intertwining there with like the different stories. I feel like Mark was like the connection there.
Okay.
But also then it's a very common name. And
I needed a southern accent.
Yeah.
Cool. Mark walked away, wanting to leave them alone to talk and maybe become friends. Wait, so he wanted to introduce them to each other, but then quickly walks away.
He was like, cool, and then just left.
It was possible. Chris and Martin kept their eyes on Mark's back as he walked away, and then each shifted their attention on the other. Hey, Chris said, how do you know Mark? Oh, he's a high school friend. It was a lucky coincidence that we ended up at the same college. You? Me what? How do you know Mark? We have some courses together, and he's not hard to befriend. That's true.
Weird way to describe somebody.
That's true. ... This awkward combo is happening. A silence filled the air, but it wasn't heavy like one would expect. It was light, comfortable. The silence was broken by grunts of pain from the pair. They felt like something was stabbing them in the gut. Their eyes met for a second, and then they were falling.
That's so romantic, actually. You meet a guy walking down the hallway. You both get stabbed in the gut at the same time. You lock eyes, and then you fall.
I'm really nervous about how these five guys will match up.
With the four girls.
With the four girls.
Ooh. We have Mark, too, so six guys.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I don't know what we did. I couldn't tell you.
Hey, guys, said Jack. Hey, his friend answered.
Wait, we have to do that together. One, two, three. Hey.
You know, as friends do.
As friends do.
Collectively. Are you guys ready to go? No, we're missing Leo. You can leave if you want to get good seats, ... said Jacob. No, it's all right. I'll wait here for him, and you guys can go. The group stifled chuckles. That was typical of Jack, to give up something for himself to be nice to a friend. They shuffled away, leaving him to wait for Leo. Look at this loser waiting for his friend. Oh, let's make fun of him.
We were waiting, but if this sucker wants to wait, let him.
He was leaning against the wall, waiting, when suddenly he saw a white light. The next second, he was being pulled through a small hole and was falling through the air. Instead of worrying about his safety, the only thing running through his mind was, oh no, I left Leo alone.
Really not a big deal, bud, but fine. The five boys landed, one on top of the other.
That's hot.
In the middle of a forest.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So let's see. Up until now, we've met four moderately unlikable ladies. We've met five dudes who are basically the same character, except for this really nice guy. Nice guy, what's his name? Nice guy Jack.
Nice guy Jack.
He's a good dude. He loves his friends more than he loves himself or sports, which is strange.
Sports.
Poor guy.
Crazy, crazy, unfathomable.
Oh.
And now they're on top of each other on a heap in the forest.
In the forest.
Where will this lead us? How can we go from here? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
No.
God, I wish I knew. Wait, I want to read some reviews that we got.
Oh my God, yes.
For
yes.
The first couple chapters. I'm liking it so far. Next chapter, please. From somebody.
Yes.
Vampire Sarah said, really good, hope there's more soon, with 2: close bracket smiley faces.
So nice of Vampire Sarah.
For chapter 2, we got a review. Speaking of Just Dance, I love that game. I have 1 and 2. I like Mark.
Fellow 11-year-old.
Dripping Rubies said, wow, they really fell from the sky. I just feel bad because one of them is going to get their heart broke because there are 5 boys and only 4 girls. Wow, somebody noticed. What the heck? Somebody
noticed. Wow, we have like dedicated fans.
Somebody said, wait, when do they meet the guys? Please update soon. It's coming, buddy.
You just have to wait 10 years.
And then wait, there are... We posted 10.
Ooh.
We should post more.
We definitely should post more.
Why not?
Audience has been waiting for this.
For 10 years. We're practically Stephanie Meyer coming out with a new Twilight.
Literally. Oh my god, this is completely original content. I don't know how people have lived this long without it.
That's right. You know what, though? I feel like I couldn't read an unfinished, poorly written original work by anybody.
Honestly, yeah, kudos to these people.
Kudos. They really got through it.
Weird shit on, what's the website called? Fictionpress.com.
Fictionpress.
Fictionpress.com. Wow, fellow 11-year-olds, I guess.
That's right. I think it must be.
They have to be children.
We also have a Facebook page, apparently.
What?
But I don't know if we ever used it.
That's crazy. Well, we were just getting ready for the
million. Our big break.
Fans, yeah, our big break. That call from Chapters that was like, hello, we need Alexa Rush, Alexa Love. I messed it up. Alexa Love and Claudia Rush to come sign books, please. And oh, do you guys have Facebook?
We need your Facebook page stat. Oh my. That's all I can say.
Oh, there's so much of this. We're on page 20 of 281.
Do you want to know? We rated it T for teen.
Scandal. Cal scandal, honestly.
Literally.
We were gay once and we were like, this is for adult eyes only.
This is
not for children. We're not okay. Kids don't use this language. Oh god.
Wow.
But yeah, so the fact that okay, so if the versions are slightly different, it means that one of us, at least one of us, read over like this section at least, and we were like, yeah, this is good.
This is ripe for publishing.
But it's good. It's ready. It's straight to the press. Yeah, but I guess it's harder to write a YA novel than you'd think. That's the takeaway here.
So I have a lot of ideas. If we want to keep reading next time, whenever it is, we keep reading. We also have emails we exchanged about this. We have some more reviews that I haven't read. And I don't know. We might be able to dig up more stuff if we like search our emails a little bit.
Yes.
Come through that 2011 mail.
I love it. I am so down. Stay tuned for next episode when we read cringy emails that we sent as children.
I'm rubbing my little hands together in excitement.
Yeah, basically we're still waiting for a big break. It's gonna come soon. I feel it.
We have to, we should write a better thing.
It's Raining Men 10 years later.
Yeah. It's Raining Men climate change. Or like
Antonio makes more crepes. More people eat them at exactly 6 p.m. Who knows what's gonna happen next?
See, it would make sense, let's say, if all the guys had eaten crepes that day. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they just ate them earlier. Or, then again, Antonio's a time-traveling, omniscient sort of god. So, yeah, it could be anything. You know what? I think I've seen enough. Is that where we want to leave it for today?
Yes, I think that's more than enough for now. So yeah, I guess that concludes episode 1 of It's Probably Raining Men.
Stick a bookmark in chapter 3 and we'll pick up next time.